MMA Roadshow, episode number 435. My name is John Morgan, and Cole Coffee is with me here in Salt Lake City, Utah. More specifically, in the hotel lobby that you're staying at.
Yeah.
And people may say, well, that seems like a weird place
Why
to sit down
that,
and start
guys?
Recording.
What, why would you do that?
Of all the places in Salt Lake City that you can go, you sit down in the lobby. Well, it turns out they've got some pretty favorable happy hour prices here in the lobby of your hotel tonight.
Yes, they do. It's a little nice, a little happy hour, some good food, free food, and some free beer.
I mean, if you're going to say complimentary beverages, if you need John Morgan to be somewhere and you will just say complimentary beverages. Frosty beverages.
Yes, yes.
I will be there. So you suggested it, and I said, well, sir, I don't know that I can find a better deal in town. So I think that is exactly where we should sit down and record.
Well, especially after last night. You tried to go. We tried to go to the liquor store, tried to find some cold beer and stuff. I took a quick loop, saw no refrigeration, and dipped. I think you were still there. You were in the middle of the wine aisle.
I ended up snagging a bottle of red wine, and I got a bottle of Tito's as well, and I threw it in my freezer.
Oh, that looks
so
good.
So we got that just in case
you
Tito's.
Had like some little pink ass rosé shit in your hand when I saw.
No,
it last
no,
night.
It was Tito's. It was Tito's and a bottle of red wine, okay. A red blend, okay. And a bottle of Tito's. But yes, I was quickly reminded of the draconian Salt Lake City, Utah liquor laws here, which are not favorable to gentlemen like myself who enjoy a good frosty beverage.
Yes,
you have to buy the cold beer warm. You can't even buy it like in six packs. You have to buy it like individually, like everything's priced individually.
At least not at that state liquor store.
It's not at the state liquor store.
Because I found a six pack at the gas station that was just down the way.
Right.
In the hood.
There are, I will say, as beautiful a place as this is, there are some little sketchy areas.
Some very, very sketchy areas. And but when,
and I'm not picking on it because it's a nice place. It's beautiful.
Well, plus, I think some of the areas, too, I think there's like food. There's like missions there. There's like religious, like some of the places where you go and get like food give outs and stuff. So I think some of them congregate to this area.
Right.
Plus, there's that nice park there. And people have been sleeping in there at night. I haven't seen any tents or anything. But I'll see people, even last night when I was walking back from dinner, somebody just was like laying out their bedroll and was sleeping. So I wonder if it's a matter of like they don't allow things like a tent, but if you just want to sleep, they'll let it happen or whatever.
I wish we could fix that, man. Not to get political or whatever. Yeah. I wish we didn't have citizens out on the streets, you know what I mean? Just a damn shame.
But at least the weather wasn't too bad last night, even though I think there was a point where we saw some storm clouds, and I thought they could have been a little bit rougher, but I don't remember hearing them rain or anything, but yeah, I mean, that's a tough subject, but yeah, we definitely don't want to go down there.
No. We're talking MMA. We're having fun. We're drinking
some lighthearted stuff, like MMA. Lighthearted stuff.
I will say, shout out to Jeff Robbins from the Utah Sports Commission, the president and CEO today. He came in today. I'm sure a lot of people have seen the Utah Sports Commission as a partner in bringing the UFC here. And he did a great job of describing kind of what their goal is. And, you know, they're actually in a bid for the Winter Olympics. I think they said in like 2030.
Yep. Yeah, I think he mentioned Olympics at least 30 times in his speech.
Olympus got brought up a lot of Tony Hawk. He's a big fan of Tony Hawk.
Motorbikes.
Yep.
They called it something. Motocross.
Motocross. They do a lot of extreme sports. So he just talked about.
Apparently, he likes tennis. He plays tennis. He maybe was a pro. He threw himself in there somewhere.
He was a professional tennis player at one point. But so he was out there, you know, doing. Hey, look, he's a partner in the presentation. He wanted to come out and talk about his organization. But I will say, he's got a good sense of humor and gave me way more serious of an answer than he should have because I just thought, hey, you know, we don't usually talk to people like this. He's probably like, what the hell am I even doing here in a media room? And I was like, hey, since we're done asking questions, what can the Utah Sports Commission do about getting the liquor laws changed here? And everybody kind of gave it a little giggle or whatever. And I was just trying to have fun, keep it light, you know,
make
the guy entertained. But then he gave me like a very serious answer. He's like, you know, I understand where you're coming from. He was like, I hope that the world knows that we are progressive in those ways. We've seen multiple changes over the last 5 years.
Yes.
And I think we continue to assess and evaluate and determine, you know, how we can continue to move forward. And I think that you'll see that we're a very progressive state when it comes to that. And we're working on changing certain laws. And I was like, that is way better of an answer than you needed to give me. Like, thank you very much. But I thought it was I felt respected in there. It was almost like he was like, I know you're joking with me, but let me give you a little answer.
He's like, we can't take care of it now, but we'll get to it at a latter day.
Oh, see what you did.
Would you call him a saint if he did?
Ridiculous. So ridiculous. Yeah,
I'm proud of that one. I just worked that up in my head.
Setting that one up. Yeah, nice job. They have made some changes over the years because I came back to the fight nights, and it was funny, man, to hear him openly talk about the history of the UFC here, right, and how originally there was supposed to be a UFC fight night here, and it was on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. And they said that, like, and I remember it because I remember people in the market saying, dude, it'll never work on a Sunday here. And he even said it. He was like, dude, we tried to tell Dana White a Sunday is not a good idea here in Salt Lake City. And Dana was like, nope, we're going on a Sunday. And they ended up moving it to San Diego. I was actually sitting next to a local reporter, and I remember that kind of happening. But, you know, these events all kind of come together. I was like, do you remember what fight that was? Because we were talking, like, Jose Youngs was with us, and Jose's got that, you know.
Young upcoming reporter.
Oh, he's got that.
His mind still works because he's still young.
Once he catches on to a major outlet somewhere, it's going to be tough for him. But, yeah, he's got really good, like, photographic type memory, and he couldn't remember either. And the local reporter was like, I actually just put that in my story. He's like, let me look it up. And he was like, it was actually Jones versus Matt Yashchenko. So they could have had John Jones in a main event here. But, of course, and as I told – and the reporter, you could tell he kind of knew the sport, but I was like, yeah, but in fairness, that was John Jones, like, before it was
John Jones,
you know what I mean? Yeah. So, pretty wild. And then, of course, they came back for the fight night that was Yair and Alex Caceres, which was kind of obviously two very intriguing dudes. We've seen you know, what Yair has gone on to do, of course, and the heights that he reached, but it wasn't a big one. And it was a decent fight night. But back then, I remember, like, you could only get, like, the 3.2% alcohol here. You had to get you had to go to, like, a bar and pay, like, a dollar to have a private club membership or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, this is a 4.2, right?
Yeah, bro, we stepping the game up. The free Miller Lights, the 4.2.
Is that the normal?
Yeah, that's the normal rate right there. So, yeah, they are making progress. But I got to chuckle out all that. So, anyway, it is UFC 291 this week. Great media day that we had today. We just wrapped that up a few hours ago. I thought it was a really entertaining one. We'll talk all about it. I guess I wanted to get some thoughts for you because I haven't talked to you since – you know, the big Tom Aspinall win over the weekend, man. I know that, you know, you, like me, are a big fan of Tom Aspinall and have kind of seen the future and the greatness the potential that he seems to have. But, you know, I mentioned it on the NF episode. It's funny because, like, even when it's somebody that you believe in and that you know has skills, when they're gone for a year, they're just not top of mind, right?
Right.
And you know, I picked him in the fight, and I was like, you know, as long as everything's good with the knee, he's going to be good. And you know, this will be a big win. He's right back in there. But I'll tell you what, man, that performance for me, I'm ready to see this guy in a title fight really soon, like really, really soon. I'm not necessarily saying next, you know what I mean? We got to see how things shake out, but I feel like he's one fight away at most.
It sounds right. I mean, with a good performance, I mean, I think right now so many of the divisions are just so fluid. I mean, I think if with one good performance and one standout performance, there you are. I mean, like, I think it's so funny that if we would think, like, you know, looking at, like, where Sean Strickland's at, here's a guy that I think most people would like, even though he's not right at the top, but he's had some good performance and he's just buzzing. And now, next thing you know, you got the champ, and it seems like that fight might actually happen.
Yeah.
It's like, what is going on? So, yeah, at this point, I think anybody with a little bit of buzz around and, you know, gets one good, solid fight in there, you never know. You never know. So, I think this is the perfect fight for this to kind of, you know, work itself up. And, yeah, who knows?
It I like it. Happen. I think, you know, we're going to look to November. We're going to see John Jones and Stipe Miocic. No guarantees either way, but I have a feeling there's a real possibility both of them retire after that fight, win or lose. And if that's the case, then you got a vacant belt. And I think at that point, you just go Tom Aspinall, Sergey Pavlovich, and that's actually a really intriguing, enticing fight. You know what I mean? I think that's in there. And I think the backup would be, and maybe I'm wrong in this, but I think the backup would be if for whatever reasons John or Stipe, whoever wins, doesn't retire – then obviously Sergey would be next. And then I honestly think I wouldn't mind seeing Aspinall and Blades put back together. I know Blades has got a difficult challenge coming up as well, but I'd still like to see that fighting. That was a fight that I was really looking forward to. And obviously we got 15 seconds of it, and we really didn't learn anything whatsoever. We didn't see anything in that time. And that's a matchup I think I'd still like to see. I think that would really tell us a lot. If Tom Aspinall's not getting into a title fight right away, I think I'd like to see that one. I didn't really understand the whole, you know, I'll be in Paris for for Cyril and Sergey, and I'll take the winner of that. I don't know. Maybe that was just convenience of location because he's based in Europe. But I don't know. I feel like there's bigger matchups available for him.
Yeah, could be. Could be.
We'll see how it plays out. I will get a quick Ultimate Fighter check in. I'm guessing you didn't get a chance.
Did I?
Did you see
this? Let me. I thought there was going to be more than one fight last. I don't know why I was thinking, because somebody said something. That somebody had leaked and already said like who was moving on, and maybe that's why in my head I was thinking that for some reason they were going to cramp two fights in the one. But I did see it.
The fight between
Austin Hubbard and Roosevelt Roberts.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if you get to see it. So, you know, I will say, and look, I know a lot of people aren't watching. I will say, if you have been watching and you missed this episode, don't worry about it. It wasn't the greatest episode, but the fight was not phenomenal. I did enjoy the episode. A couple highlights. Bracatona obviously moving over to the other team.
Yeah, you're a rat.
No shock
Dirty
there.
Rat.
Yeah, no shock kidding. There. We knew that was going to happen.
Yeah. He's been itching to do that. And if people don't know about it, his coach is John Kavanaugh.
So,
I mean, like, this whole time he was training, working without his coach. And out of respect for Brad, John wasn't really going to try to do anything to, like, coach any of the guys that were going to be fighting him. So now that's all gone. So
that's probably actually a better way to put it. It's not that he really switched back over to be with Connor. It's that he switched back over to be with John Kavanaugh,
to be with
his normal coach.
And that's how he phrased it as well. I mean, he was like, I'm glad to be back with my team, but I'm glad to be back with my coach.
Yeah. I'll tell you what's funny, though, when they had that scene with Dana White on there, and he didn't mention anything about, you know, well, all the guys want to stay loyal to Michael Chandler. They want to stay loyal to the team. He's like, Connor's outburst kind of upset some people, and I don't think he wanted to go over. You know, they kind of made it seem like, hey, it's not necessarily that they're just like, hey, we're Team Chandler all the way, but more like, hey, you know what? F that guy for him yelling at us last time.
Well, but also, too, I mean, like, even though they still trained with Chandler's team, those guys are still technically being awarded on the Connor's side.
Right.
Like, when you look in that thing, Connor's
there.
Listed. Like, they're still Connor. They're still on Connor's team, but they're training. They're allowing them to train with the current team. But as a giving to Connor's side, and maybe this is how it would have worked any other way where fighters have to go. Normally, there's always fighters on the other side.
Yeah.
You know, maybe one side always has more than the other, and you don't
make
a
point. It's never 7-1.
But it's never to the point where it's almost the whole team.
Yeah.
You have to give the guy,
it's like 5-3.
You know, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe in a bad situation, 6-2.
Right. So this was really, really pushing the limit, you know, because if it was like at that point, there was no reason for Connor to be there last night for that fight. There was no reason for him to be there. But you know what was funny? Because at one point I thought he was cheering for the wrong dude. And I was like, bro, because he was like telling moves to like Roberts. I was like, why is he like, that's not even his
doesn't
dude.
Doesn't have either guy.
But,
he
it,
was just
but
like,
it is, Roberts was the one I think that was assigned onto his team.
So technically it's his team.
So it was technically his
guy. It
was
funny because basically if you haven't seen it, again, this was probably one of the worst fights of the season because
it was still better
said,
than the PFL showing. You know, so if people, you know, to give you a little backstory, but like in a Cliff Notes, Roosevelt Roberts said when he was going to the show, I'm not going to make friends with anybody. I'm just going to do my thing. But then you put him in the house, people are going to find a bond with somebody because you just want to have a conversation. You want to be able to bounce your thoughts off stuff. And especially if you're going in your training, you're going to get a training bond. Hubbard seemed to be the one guy that he got closest to in the house that was always sort of, talking with or whatever. I think so.
Yep.
And so when it came down the fight, you know, both of them were respectful. But the whole first round, and you kind of hear Connor chime in afterwards, he's like, it's not a sparring session, guys.
Right.
And what was so eerily crazy about this one is because since the coaches were so respectful of them being both guys, no coaches were giving any input. So it was as quiet
Dead silence.
As being in a field at night with nobody around you, it was surreal.
It's like the fighting fights used to be before they were on a team, so nobody was coaching, nobody's cheering.
Right.
They're just like
to get into the house.
It's just when you can hear the feet shuffling. Yeah, exactly. To get into the house,
fighting to get in the house.
Yeah, it wasn't great. So a couple shout outs I want to give, and then we'll get 291 because that's what matters. I did want to say respect to Roe, even though he ended up coming up short.
Yeah.
For cutting his hair and doing what he had to do to make.
And
weight.
I respected his mindset afterwards because I mean, like I said he didn't want to go in there and make friends, and he's kind of mad that he did, but he's like, I have the utmost respect for my opponent, and I love the respect between the two guys. Like, they didn't want to do it, but they made the best of it. And as much as yes, the fight could have been more intense, they still went out and pushed it. They still went out and gave some. Could have been harder, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a lot of times, you know, you see some guys get top position, and were they throwing elbows at the face? No.
No.
Were they really dropping a lot of heavy ground and pound?
No.
And if they did, they were going to the body.
Yep.
You know, they were doing a pretty good job of, like, making it, if anything, a heavy spar session. But, you know, it's a tough situation, you know.
It is. It is a tough situation, which is what the PFL thing, the whole thing we tried to say.
Yeah, and that was even closer than what these guys, you know.
That was super close, man. I also wanted to give respect to Mando as well, because technically Mando's on the other team. Now, he's a barber at home, you know what I mean? So, right away, when he needs to make weight, he's like, Mando. And you know what, man?
And he did
Mando got up and did, and I thought that was cool, because you could be like, nah, bro, not my team. You know what I mean? But it's like, hold on, man. You know what? Like, I'm already out. You know what I mean? Like,
this isn't on his team.
This isn't.
Technically, kind of on his team.
I guess there you go. Maybe less
but
respect.
But no, I
you know what I mean?
Agree
like,
you
could have been a jerk, but it's like, what am I? All I'm doing is cutting your hair. Like, I'm not giving you a training technique, or I'm helping you make weight. Like, I don't know. I thought that was cool.
Well, and he could be like, bro, you're already out of the competition.
Yeah, like, I'm not going to help you anyway. Like, I don't know. I wanted to give him a say.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I thought he did a pretty good job. Like, it could have, like, I mean, to go for dreads and then make it to a presentable job.
Oh, yeah, he made it.
You know, I thought it looked good. I was like, good. I was like, dude.
You made it look right.
It looked a hell of a lot better than it should have by any means, you know, in that short of time.
And then, of course, the other shout-out that I must give, because I will give him a shout-out every single time I can, is Jason Knight, right?
Yes.
Because Connor has a chef come over, and he has this hearty stew, right? He's got the forged Irish stout in there. He's pouring the Irish stout in there. They're cooking it down. They get it all done. And Jason Knight just like, man, it was vegetable beef stew, but it had beer instead of water. I don't know about it. So funny, like, Connor brought over a chef to make you this. He went to feature his product. Connor's getting the product placement in there. But he does this, and he's like, oh, look at this proper Irish. This is amazing. You can taste the Ireland in there. Jason Knight's just like, vegetable beef soup, but with beer instead of water. I don't know what the big deal is. All right, well, we got the appetizers, the hors d'oeuvres out of the way. Now we get to the entree, the UFC 291 card that is coming up, that I just don't see how you can't be absolutely pumped for. I mean, yes, I guess if you want to be a stickler, you could be like, man, we were supposed to have Paulo Costa versus, you know, Ikram Askarov here. But, like, Dustin Poirier versus Justin Gaethje. BMF title is on the line. Media day was the day. We got to see everybody. You know, I've kind of made my feelings on this BMF title clear, in that, to me, I don't think it – and boy, I tell you, you know who had the harshest criticism today of the BMF title was Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. I mean, the nicest dude on the roster. And he was like, well, I think it's kind of just, what does it even represent? What does it mean? What is it? Blah, 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 blah. So I thought it was kind of funny, because for Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, of all people, to have the harshest criticism. But I guess I'm kind of the opinion that, like, you're right. I don't think it necessarily really means anything per se, but I do think it's cool, and I guess I would love this fight regardless if there was nothing on the line.
Yeah.
But if there's ever two dudes that you were going to say, like, well, if they need to be fighting for a BMF belt, it's these two dudes. Like, I don't know what it means moving forward. Like, I don't know if there's going to be more BMF titles. I don't know if they're going to defend this title. I don't know if any of that makes any sense whatsoever at all, but I love this fight, and I think it's cool that there's this BMF title. And I think it's cool that Jorge is going to be here and give it to the winner. I don't know. I like it.
It is pretty cool. You know, it's kind of what's interesting and funny in the sense, and somebody brought it up earlier too, when they talk about how, you know, the fact that it was lost already and should have been passed down. Like, if you're going to have the guy that had it before hand it off, you're treating it like it's a lineal sort of thing. And in the line of, like, a lineal champ, the lineal champ's already gone. Like,
right.
When he lost to –
because it should have gone to Usman. At which point, Usman would have given it to Edwards.
To Edwards.
And
Edwards
that's where – and it would technically be Leon Edwards.
Technically Edwards, you know. So it is what it is. But I get it when how Steven – how I phrased – how he was phrasing it, how it made sense when he was sort of against it a little bit. It's one thing when you're talking about, and I think what he was saying was, like, when you get to a belt and you have two of the best fighters and they're trying to say who's the best, you know, the two of the best in the division, well, that's what the division title is about, you know. But when he phrased like that, I was like, okay, I get it. If you're trying to say who's the best one and two guys in the division, well, they shouldn't be fighting for the BMF title, they should be fighting for the actual division title.
Right.
But if you're just talking about two badasses, then it could be all across the board. But the way he was saying, where he thought it was kind of silly, is because you're taking two of the best guys that could be vying for the actual title, and you're having vying for something that's something else.
Right.
That doesn't give them all the other extra shit. So I can see where he's like, well, it's kind of silly, but he's like, I get it. You know, I understand it.
It is kind of interesting in that sense because, all right, like, because I'm telling you right now, the press conference tomorrow, I'm going to ask, and we'll get into the co-main as well, I'm going to ask Dana. I don't necessarily expect him to commit to it, but are these fights number one contender fights? Because both the main right. and the co-main look like they should be number one contender fights, right?
Yeah.
And so I guess in the position of, like, Jorge and Nate, they weren't necessarily really in a title ascension. They weren't necessarily
–
Now, obviously, Jorge ended up getting to that point.
Yeah.
But, you know, that wasn't really what that was about.
That fight wasn't
like, hey, man, these are two special characters that probably aren't really fighting for a title anytime soon, even though that ended up changing.
Yeah.
And so let's put something cool to – you know, because this is a special occasion type thing or whatever. So I guess in that sense I can see it because, like – again, I mean, these guys are both former interim champs.
Yep.
I can't remember who said it today, because their argument was like, man, if it wasn't for you know what? I think it was Michael Chiesa that was like, look, if it wasn't for a guy named Khabib Nurmagomedov, like, these two dudes both could be undisputed champions.
Right.
I think it was him that said that. So.
And then at that point, then you're kind of – that gives some weight, though, to, like, what Thompson's saying. Like, those are guys that would be vying for the actual belt, you know.
Right.
But – I mean, I get it. It's interesting, and it's given another little part. And maybe part of it was the fact that, you know, Nate always wanted to fight for a belt. And if you want to coerce Nate into fighting Masvidal for something, all right, well, we'll give you a title shot.
Yep.
But it's not going to be a real title. It's going to be the BMF title. How about that? We'll get you your pay-per-view points. We'll get you whatever. Because, honestly, I think that the UFC just wanted to rope Nate into fighting again. You know, I felt at that time they probably thought, like, we're not quite sure if he's going to fight again. There's heat between these two. We can make something happen. And now they're keeping it around, and now we have to find sort of put this value behind it. It's like, well, what is that real value? Is it just purely just to have another rotating thing around that we could throw towards pay-per-view main events where normally would be an event where there actually would be a title on the line or something? So it's interesting. I just wonder if now us off to the side, what initially was this crazy, funky idea, now here we are kind of creating depth to something that was never really expected at first to ever keep moving forward.
Yeah.
And the more we ask about it, the more we sort of flush this out, we're creating a backstory for it in a sense and giving it more worth than what it initially was.
Yeah, because it's funny, in the beginning, like, that was the big question, right? Like, everybody was like, will this be defended? Will this be defended?
Yeah.
And I didn't even understand that logic. I'm like, well, of course it won't. Like, it's a special
thing.
They
said it was a one-off. They
right,
said
it was
done.
If you're going to institute it again, now you want – but, I mean, you can't really defend it, right? Because more often than not, they're going to end up around the same person, yeah. You would
they
think,
made
right?
It, like, treat it like as lineal. I'm killing that word. And if they were just going to have it and be whatever, it should have passed. You know, at that point. But
ultimately, it's probably going to always end up with I guess if you didn't do it in every division. Like, if you only had one, like, literally one, like, it would still.
I mean, in boxing, didn't heavyweights switch around or something? And maybe that did sort of happen. I thought that happened at one point where, like, the lineal heavyweight switched.
Yeah, but that one's not even, like, a real title. Like, it's just, like a weird, a factual thing or whatever. So, I don't know. It's weird. Like, I guess, and I don't want to spend too much time debating the merits of it or whatever, but, like, in the beginning, I was like, this is kind of dumb. And then when we saw the belt and The Rock was there, I was like, all right, it's fun. Yeah. I'm into it. Like, I can deal with this. Now that it's happening again, I mean, there's no two people better on the roster, I think,
for
right
sure.
Now than these two guys that do it. But I don't know. It is weird. So I was like, that now what? Do they defend it? Should there be one?
They're the ones that hand it off.
Should
again
there be
afterwards?
One for every division or whatever? Like, you know, give me some Ioane and Jacek coming back and fighting for a BMF title or something. You know what I mean?
I mean, we clearly said that this fight itself on its own would have been fine as a main event. You know, if it's a matter of the UFC sort of back themselves in a corner with pay-per-views because they always put these title fights or multiple title fights, and they're like, well, guys, it just doesn't line up. We have to get this pay-per-view out, but we don't have anything. Well, let's bring the BMF back, you know?
I know they have metrics that have shown that, like, and again, they very rarely have a pay-per-view that's a non-title fight. But I know they have metrics that have shown that, like, hey, when we have non-title pay-per-views, like, you know, the purchase rate, you know, falls off a cliff. But this is special, right? Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, normally if you have a non-title fight, it's because, well, you lost your title fight and you scrambled to put the best thing you could together, and that's what you came up with. This one, like, oh, dude, I don't care if they're fighting, like, the winner's paying dinner. Like, I want to, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I want to watch it.
It's just interesting because, yeah, I mean, what do we do after this point? Does it continue on or whatever? And then does it devalue it as it goes on? If we know that, well, we're going to see it again. It's just going to become this rotating thing. Every quarter, we're going to see the BMF title.
Then they just put it up on somebody else.
Go up and put it on somebody else, you know? And it's just like, I don't know. But, I mean, I like it for this. I mean, you're right. I can see where if somebody even just tuned in and they said, well, is there a title on the line for this pay-per-view? And somebody said, well, yeah, there's the BMF title. Even if somebody doesn't understand what that is and doesn't understand that that doesn't actually equate to, like, one of the normal titles, they're just going to hear title and they're going to think, oh, cool. Well, yep. Obviously, this event must be mean something. It's big something. I remember traveling. I mean, how many times have you been in an Uber somewhere and a guy, you know, they ask you what you're doing in town. You're saying, oh, we're here to cover an event. Oh, is there a big fight? Oh, yeah, there's a title on the line.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and they're like, oh, cool.
Cause, yeah, because cool. You know, they probably don't know the names.
They don't know the names.
But you're like, let me just tell them there's a title fight. Yeah. Like, oh, all right.
It immediately makes it sound cooler. Yeah. And I mean, even in the news.
That is true. That's
if
a
it's
great
on
point.
Even if it's like a news headline or something, you know, they're just going to be like, oh, okay, something's on. So at that point, I mean, maybe we are going to see it again. It's just I mean, I don't mind it. I mean, it's not like we're having to do extra, jump through extra hoops for it. I think if they keep finding names like this to do it, and if this is the kind of thing that these guys get extra points or allows
they get,
them, you know, I mean, like, who cares? I mean, I don't mind it. I don't mind it. I just feel like the story of what it really means and what it eventually is going to become is still sort of fleshing
itself
out.
Still getting a little confusing,
because
right?
At one point it was the one-off, and that's what made that one so hugely special. And then now it's back, and it's like, okay, well, is this the last time? Or are we going to see it again?
But this is a one-off of a one-off.
It's a one-off of a one-off. So,
all right, it's a great fight. There's no doubt about it. Yeah. Like, I was joking on the CFSC broadcast a week ago that we played the commercial, and I was just like, bro, if you're not excited about this fight, like, we can't be friends. Like, I don't care how nice you are, like, how cool you are, we can't be friends.
And even if it's a bang-out just brawl, and even though both of them say they didn't want to initially do this again, doesn't it make sense that you have to have a trilogy then?
If it's
a bang-up brawl and, say,
especially
Justin gets
wins,
this one,
yeah.
You got to do it again.
You got to do it again,
but
brother.
But then it makes more sense than that you're seeing the BMF up against for a rematch. Then that makes sense to do it again.
That would be cool. So, like, yeah, you're right about that. So if Justin did win, and then let's say they do the trilogy, but it's like 2 years from now, and maybe one of them's a champ or one of them's not or whatever, that you put the BMF title back on the line because it's the two guys that contested it last.
Yep.
You're 100% right in there. You have to put it back on the line. You'd have to put it back.
But it would make a lot of sense. It's an easy sell. That's easier than just saying, like, okay, well, we haven't seen it in 2 years. We haven't seen it in a year.
Oh, dude, and what
you
if...
know, and then what, just grab two new characters.
And what if one of them was the champ at the time and you're like, it's for two belts,
for
bro.
Two belts.
It's for the lightweight title and the BMF title. Like, you get the gold and the silver,
I mean,
son.
You'd have to, right? Unless for some reason you change divisions.
Yeah.
You know, unless they're like, oh, just as a catch weight, whatever. I could see where somebody with the belt was like, how about we do a catch weight, but it's only for the BMF.
Oh, that would be cool. All right.
But both these guys have been doing this for a long time. I mean, like, if there is going to be a trilogy, it has to be soon.
Yeah,
I don't think either one of these guys.
Gaethje's always been. He only has a handful left.
Yep.
Poirier has said, and
I'm more so on Gaethje's side. Like, but I mean, Dustin's been doing all the right kind of things. I mean, with all this foundation work and with his family, his daughter's getting older, I can see him wanting to make that shift, becoming more full time at home, doing other sort of stuff outside.
And he's, like I said, I think he said it on the countdown. I've heard him start to say a little bit, like, I don't need to fight anymore. Like, my family's good.
See,
like, we're financially
good,
set.
Awesome.
You know what I mean? So he's probably not much longer for it. It's just got to be fights
dude,
like
get
this.
Get out before that fucking all the CTE and like PTSD and other shit starts settling
100%.
In, you know? Because he's still got his wits. He sounds great. He looks great. You're not seeing like damage that you start seeing on some of the
phenomenal representative
long-term.
Of the sport, man. Such a
get
good
out
dude.
While you can. If you got your money, get out.
are you leaning towards either guy? Because
leaning toward Dustin.
It's a coin flip fight.
Yeah,
I think I'm leaning 100%. Towards Dustin just because I saw it before.
Because
I
saw
and
it
I saw how it played out. Granted, 5 years ago. Granted, both have evolved.
Yep.
But they both evolved. And they're not, like, completely new fighters. You know what I'm saying? Like, yes, they've gotten better at what they do, but I still – so I lean slightly Dustin, but if Justin gets in there and leg kicks the hell out of him. Kazoo, he wasn't that far away from Femi. Yep. I'll never forget that. Dustin had to come in and sit down to do the pulse fight last time.
Dustin loses, if Dustin for an instance just loses track of his presence in that cage, and just, you know, oh, what's going on over here, and just doesn't give Justin his focus every time, it only takes one solid punch from Justin to catch any fighter, to knock them off the game, and then just swarm them, you know?
Yep.
So I think Dustin just needs to be on it. I mean, like, he can make a mistake and lose his fight. I think what's been so great about him in his past fights is he doesn't make those mistakes. You know, like you said, he can either, if he doesn't mind his leg is going to get chewed up. He's got to be smart about that. But if he doesn't pay attention to that, and the next thing you know, he's like, oh, fuck, I thought I could eat more of those leg kicks. Then next thing you know, you can't stand on your leg, and then where goes half your power? You know, like, he's got to be on his game the whole time, because Justin is just so damn dangerous. He's so powerful. Those leg kicks are just, I mean, I think those are probably his most dangerous weapon. I mean, his hands are incredible, but
hands are same, the same with those leg kicks. Nasty.
He just literally just takes your legs out.
Throws his whole body into
it's
him.
Nasty.
Dude.
It's nasty.
It's crazy. All right, I'm leaning tight towards Justin. I'm going to say if I was at the head of the writer's table and I was getting to script everything, I would say, and I only just believe this now after the scenario that you laid out, I just said, now if I'm a script writer, I have Justin win, then I have Justin go win the UFC lightweight title, and then I have Dustin say, I'm giving it one more run, I'm not giving up, he wins one, maybe two fights, but maybe probably just one. Gets the trilogy fight with Justin, wins the trilogy fight, and then calls it a career. And like Amanda Nunes, lays down both them belts, lays down the BMF, lays down the undisputed title that he'd been chasing for years and years. He brings his daughter into the cage. Yep. He brings his wife, who was there from moment one, driving him in the car.
I like it.
And you know what? And we're doing it in New Orleans. We're doing it in New Orleans. That fight's happening. The trilogy's happening in New Orleans.
I would definitely sign up to go to New Orleans for that. I definitely sign up.
That's the script.
That's a pretty good storyline.
All right, co-main event, Jan Blachowicz versus Alex Bejeda. Interesting fight, right? Because, you know, Jan Blachowicz has done pretty well against middleweights moving up to 205. I don't really see Alex Bejeda as a middleweight moving up to 205. I see him as a light heavyweight who just somehow found a way to make his body make 185 pounds before. Because that dude is huge. Like, when they face off together, Alex is going to be just as big as Jan, you know what I'm saying? And credit to Jan, because he even said, like I said, you know, I asked him today, like, look, you've seen these middleweights move up, you know, do you think his power goes away when he comes up 20 pounds? Like, is he just another middleweight at that point? And Jan, to his credit, was like, no. He was like, this dude's power is for real, and it's coming up to 205 as well. I got all the respect in the world from him. So this, to me, does not feel like a middleweight moving up to 205. I do have one concern, and that is that Alex turned around awfully fast.
Yeah.
3 months ago, he got knocked out. That seems awfully fast to me. Now, granted.
And who did he get knocked out by?
Israel Adesanya.
How did Izzy's power translate against.
Not so well. You know what I mean? That scares me a little bit.
That's the thought I couldn't get out of my head when I was picking for this one, because I was so heavy leaning on Alex in the middleweight division.
Yep.
But light heavy? I don't know. But at least I wouldn't say that. I think he can do good in the division. I know he has the skill set and he has the power. He was able to get lights out by not even the strongest puncher.
Right.
Not saying that Izzy doesn't have power, but Izzy's not well known to just be one punch knockout.
He's not
power.
One shot, one kill. Yeah. Like, he's, you know.
And Jan's got that power, and I think Jan has a great chin. So.
Oh, and let me just say, too, that I don't believe Jan has any plans whatsoever on kickboxing with him, dude. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, hands high, maybe I throw a jab, but I'm coming for the waist, I'm moving in the clinch, like, I'm going to take you down.
100%. I just think it's a dangerous matchup for Alex. Alex needs Jan to make this a stand-up fight, and he needs to land every shot to have a chance at this. Doesn't mean he doesn't have the power to do it. He does have a lot of power, and it's quite possible, but I don't know. I'm just right. I think this is just – it's a perfect shot. Jan's, he's at that point where he just needs a good, nice, solid victory, you know, and get him right there towards that shot. So
it's interesting because I'm looking at the line right now, and it looks like Jan opened up around a minus 165, and money has actually come in on Alex Bejeda, so that the line is now closer to like a minus 115, more or less a pick'em on both sides. But I kind of wonder if that's just because, you know, Alex is kind of the hot commodity, right, in terms of, like, fan popularity. Like, he had this amazing series with Adesanya. By the way, we're starting to see his personality. What a great story that was today. I think Alex Buchanan asked him about the video. Yeah, he talked about the video of the guy following him through Walmart, which went kind of viral. And it was kind of funny because everybody's like, what the fuck is some dude following around Alex Bejeda in Walmart? And I saw a lot of people commenting like, oh, please tell me. I hope this dude found out, you know. And it turns out, like, it was actually a USADA guy, so he had no choice. Like, once the USADA guy makes contact with you, he has to stay with you. And the scrum is getting long because I kind of wanted to, like, find out more, like, how long did you make him follow you around? And, like, do you normally mess? Because that's the thing is, once the USADA guy makes contact, you cannot lose sight of them because, obviously, at that point, they know a test is coming, and that would potentially invalidate the test. So that's why you hear the stories of, like, well, I can't pee, but I gotta do the other thing. And, like, homeboy's got to watch me do it. And it's like, weird as hell, but you get it, right? Because that would be an opportunity to cheat.
Yeah.
So you got. So I mean, I guess I was just like, oh man, well, I don't have to pee right now, but need to go to Walmart. So I guess we going to Walmart, buddy. You know what I mean? Like, it's pretty. You're starting to see his personality. And,
yeah.
You know, I was watching the countdown, and I think he even said it. It was pretty funny. He was talking about the fact that he has, you know, this new nice house and everything, and how fortunate he feels. And he's like, my face doesn't change much, but I am very happy, I promise you. You know, I thought that was pretty funny. I think even he gets it, like, why you look like the serious dude all the time? But then you find out he's kind of the prankster and the jokester or whatever. So anyway, I feel like that line to me and money coming in on Alex, maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like it's more just like, that's that popularity. That's that name. I go, like, Jan is one of the nicest human beings on the planet that you'll ever meet. But he's not the, like, he's not going to give you some big quote to use. He's not going to give you some big trash talk. You know, it's going to be like, hey, I have a lot of respect for this guy. It's going to be a battle, and I'm looking forward to using legendary Polish power. You know?
And I do remember that. I think recently, too, some pics came out of Jan, like, at a club and, like, partying and other shit. And I wonder if people are thinking, like, this guy didn't take it serious, you know?
Which, like, yeah.
Which I think is just silly. And, like, I guarantee he wasn't probably drinking or whatever. And he's just there passing the time because all the guy's doing is training.
Yeah, like, what are you going
to
do? Like,
can I go look at pretty people and just, like, listen to music and, like, do the Polish power dance? This is, I'm pumping my arms up in the air. You know, that's what I call
power.
That.
Polish power dance. Raise the roof.
But yeah, I mean, who knows? I mean, yeah, when you look at them, even when you just look at their mug shots, even though I'm on Tapology, you know, one looks like he is a prison mugshot. The other guy looks like he's choking on a marshmallow. He's not very dangerous. Like, he's like angrily chatting, killing a marshmallow. So I think Mosman said, I'm going to go with prison guy. This guy over here is having a hard time eating the marshmallow. It's actually his mouth guard. He's chewing on his mouth guard.
I mean, there are some pictures on there that you know about.
There
are
some pictures on there are so ridiculous.
Oh, my God.
Granted, I'm making a nice stretch, but when you look at it now, you're not going to not see it. You're not going to not be able to see it.
I see it now. You're referencing the thumbnail, not the profile.
The thumbnail. No, not the thumbnail. You got to keep it small.
You got to keep it small. It looks like he's choking on a marshmallow. You're ridiculous. Yeah, the panda one really does look like that's definitely a mugshot.
It's definitely a mugshot.
Like, just where the photo cuts off, that's where the numbers are right there. It's got the numbers right in it.
But no, that should be an interesting fight. But yeah, for my stat picks, I picked
you. I kind of think I'd probably lean in that direction too, if I'm going to be honest. I know that's not the sexy pick, but I think it's probably the wise pick.
I think it's the smart pick.
Winner fights Jiří?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
For sure.
And the other question I was going to ask Alex, and I didn't because it was kind of a jovial mood and it was kind of running, but I did kind of wonder. And to be honest, there's a lot to happen between here and there. But I really do wonder. Let's say Alex does win this, and then let's say Alex does win Jiří. Like, there's no question, 100% shadow of a doubt, Israel immediately moves up to 205 to try to 100%. Take his title, right? Yeah.
100%. But it'd be interesting to see, too. I mean, like, they were saying about how much weight he cuts, that he was cutting, you know, to make it down to middleweight. I mean, we saw that, you know, Izzy doesn't put crazy amount of weight on when he went up. Did he even make the weight, or was he still under?
I think he was under. If I remember now, I can't
remember. Yeah,
but I think he was like. If I remember right, I think he was like 201 or something.
Yeah,
like
I thought it was like decently under. It's just big boys. I mean, like Alex. I think will look a lot better. And maybe it was just the fact that he wasn't properly hydrated, so it made his head more susceptible to get knocked out.
It is
at
intriguing
at the lower weight, but
it is intriguing. But like I said, will the power translate?
I still wouldn't initially be like, "Oh, is he 100%?" You know, with the rematch, because we saw what happened on both sides. I mean, it's definitely you know, if you just even look at the last two fights, you know, one went one way, one went the other way. Yeah. You know, if you don't even think about the other ones, but at a different weight class and heavier, I wouldn't quickly write off Alex.
I'll tell you what. I'm going to be honest with you. Having not seen Alex Bejeda at 205 yet, I would say that if I was forced to put down a bet on that right now, at those two at 205, I'd bet Alex. Like, dude, remember in Miami how bad he looked? Like, remember, like, we were waiting to go into the official weigh-ins, and we saw him, and he, like, towel on his head. Like, I mean, just did
terrible.
Not
look
good.
Terrible.
Did not look good. And now, today, boy, and that was – What a flex that was, by the way, right? He's to start off his scrum.
Chug.
He grabs the monster
what
can
is that,
of water.
20 ounce, 30
yeah,
ounce?
20, 30 20? Ounce.
Yeah.
He grabs the can of water, and I'm like, oh, he's going to take a sip just so that. No. Chugs.
Chugged it.
The whole monster can of water. Like, dude, you tell me that's not a flex? Like, hey, man, guess what, dude? I can do whatever I want now. Like,
Marty, I'm waiting.
I love that move. I love that. All right, I agree. Winner fights Yuri, and I think that's going to be a big one. I actually lean Jan as well, but I wouldn't mind. I mean, like I said, I think Alex is like the more exciting, you know. Then you get the Adesanya storylines, and it creates a lot of things. But I think Jan probably gets it done. Wonder Boy Michelle Bejeda, fun fight. I mean, there's just no doubt about it. Fun fight. Both guys were like, man, this is going to be stylistically, it's going to be amazing. But the one that stands out to me here is that this is more meaningful than I think a lot of people may be giving impact to. Like, it is two ranked fighters. Wonderboy's number 7. Now, granted, I know there's a lot of people that aren't happy the fact that Wonderboy still sits at number 7. Michelle Bejeda, meanwhile, number 15. He's been out for a while. He's had a laugh, but, man, he's won 5 in a row. Like, I think a lot of people don't realize that he's kind of put that winning streak together. So this fight, well, I really do think it has the ability to be absolute batshit crazy bonkers and fun as all get out. It's actually got some meaning in the division. I mean, it might not necessarily determine the next title shot, but it's gonna have some impact in the rankings.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just Wonder Boy is just so fun, or Wonder Man. I wanted to say thanks, Wonder Man, but he was like,
only if Tenacious D comes out with a new song, Wonder Man.
But I mean,
and he even said it that way, by the way. That was not just me. He did give it.
Because he said he asked Jack Black, and he said, well, maybe I can do something. But then at that point, you can't.
Can we get you
to sing harmonies?
Can we get you to just pose as Jack Black? Because let's be honest, there are some visual similarities.
But he's got his beard back out. I'd have to do something.
Maybe that's the summer project. Is you start growing the beard back out. And look, I know
I would just get a fake bushy one.
I know you like to tinker around. Oh, yeah. Jack Black's right now is thick,
it's
right?
Thick.
He's got like that.
Dude,
he's got like that Josh Barnett look.
It's very, very thick.
All right.
It's very,
so,
very
so
thick.
At that point, we get you some prosthetic beard. but I know you like to tinker around. You like to jam a little bit.
Oh, yeah,
and I know
yeah.
you like little Tenacious D. And the visual similarities between you and Jack Black are striking. Maybe that's the plan.
You'd like to sing
an MMA roadshow debut drop of you know what I mean? And you're like, Wonder Man, and we just do it as a parody,
but we have to
and
come
we give
up,
it to them.
We have to come
and
up
then,
with some cool lyrics.
And then
we'll work that up.
And then we get Wonder Boy to be like, look, it's not Jack Black, but it's like kind of
Jack
Coker. Like, I don't, you know what I mean? Oh, Jack and Coker. It's a drink.
I like
a whole video, and then we get him to use that as his entrance music, and he changes it to Wonder Man.
Done. Done.
Plan's done.
Done, sir.
Plan's done.
Coming first to Patreon only.
I'm telling you, man. Something about this altitude up here got to me. All right. Leans either way on this.
I went Bejeda.
You went Bejeda? I kind of did too. Just like the bigger, stronger, younger dude.
That's it.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's that. It's the power. I mean, I think Steven, he just has a tendency to outlast kid, but he still, as much as he was sort of criticizing, he wasn't criticizing, but he was talking about how other fighters that still sort of exist out there along the lines of like karate and other stuff, you know, still has this sort of Dutch kickboxing style and you get all this. But all I kept hearing in my head was like, okay, he's thinking about guys that are still like out there fighting like karate tournaments. A lot of times, Steven, I feel like he's fighting a karate tournament, and there were some of these guys, you know, Michelle's going to go in there trying to knock his head off, and while Steven will try to do damage, I still feel like he just doesn't have that fight-ending power that we can see out of Michelle. But I don't know. That's the way I leaned here. Don't tell Steven I said I think he's like a point fighter, because then he'll end up kicking my head off and then get that knockout he needs. But I just think the power, the strength. I think Pereira's whole problem is in the past been like he was always so flamboyant in the way he fought that his gas tank started to give a little bit because he was wasting so much energy being so showy. I mean, I think if he can stay grounded and keep that power and explosiveness for a little burst, once he's going to have to find a way to kind of clear that distance, because Steven likes to, he's great with movement, great with keeping that distance. He kind of dashes in and out. If he can work sort of that timing or work enough feints to kind of get Steven to bite on something that he can counter with some power, I think after a few good shots, if he kind of, you know, slows Steven down with some damage or maybe work on the legs a little bit so he kind of loses that movement, I think he's got the power to do that. He's just got to be smart about it. If he goes out there and thinks he doesn't need to pay attention to Steven's power, I think that'd be a bad mistake as well, because we've seen fighters go there like Diaz. It's not like Diaz is out there throwing complete one nut, you know, knockout power, but he just pitter-pats you until the guy's beat down.
Yep.
It's so amazing. You watch it happen time and time again. Diaz just like pawing at you. And next thing you know, the guy's face is half destroyed and he's just barely moving. You're like, what happened? What didn't we see? So that's the kind of thing that can happen out here. But I think Pereira's just, I think he's going to be a little bit too much in this. But who knows? I mean, we are at altitude. Maybe if he tries to do those flashy movements, maybe burns himself out. Maybe we're getting to the second round.
Maybe start to see that old version, version that we thought he would move past. So,
yep.
All right, Tony Ferguson versus Bobby Green.
Love this fight,
man. First of all, two of the most memorable scrums from today. First of all, two guys that we've been covering their career forever, that we love both of them, that they're just, I mean, favorites of both of ours as people and as fighters. I love this fight. Bobby Green was on point, as you would expect. You know, he's admitted, you know, his frustration from last time in the no contest, but he's like, hey, I've moved past it. I'm good to go. I'm focused. You know, I'm still, you know, building what I'm building. Tony Ferguson, man, listen, people will say things about Tony Ferguson. I'm just going to be honest. I love me some Tony Ferguson. And, you know, while he's definitely an eccentric cat, I mean, he came in today and just kind of owned everything, right? He was just like, look, man, I have not been where I needed to be mentally, physically. I was burned out, you know. And I get it, man. Doubters will just be like, yeah, but they can say that. But what really is it? I don't know. I'm at least encouraged by the fact that I feel like he's being honest and straightforward. You know, he changed up the coaches around him. He changed up his training approach. The dude's as dedicated as they come. I think this has the ability to be exciting. And listen, you look at that Tony Ferguson losing streak, man. I mean, come on, dude. The names that are on there are insane. So I'm excited about this. I'll be honest with you. I have no idea what we're going to see in there. I know that Bobby Green is a massive favorite, and I understand why.
Yep.
I completely get that. And Bobby Green could 100% win this fight handily. But Tony Ferguson, if he is executing at 100%, has the ability to come in here and shock the world a little bit. And if you got a few bucks that you just want to throw out there on a big dog,
yep,
Tony Ferguson might be the guy to do it. But beyond the betting aspect, that was just from an entertainment perspective, I'm excited for this one.
Yeah, and there's no quitting Tony. I mean, we've seen the guy just bloodied to all get out, and the doctor's trying to stop fight. You know, he's not going to be one that wants to stop a fight. I just hope they kind of definitely double search him to look for that bear knife that he likes to carry around with him. You know, blades and shades, dog. Blades and shades.
Hold on, man. was that legal today? I'm not sure. Well,
it's all about the length.
Okay, so for anybody that didn't see the media day.
Every state is different, but it's usually maybe it's 2-inch
blade. And I'm not trying to rat the guy out or anything, but I was like, whoa.
Nah, he rat himself out. He pulled it out at the middle.
I mean, it was on camera. But, yeah, so if you didn't see it, you know, he's like, hey, I was up in Big Bear, and we were, like, tracking a bear. And I'm literally just kind of blown away. I'm like, as I'm listening, I mean, obviously, anytime Tony speaks, I'm a little bit blown away by what I'm hearing, and I'm always intently listening because, like, man, if you don't pay attention to what Tony's saying, you're going to get lost real quick.
Yeah.
And then he's going to ask you a question. You're going to feel like an idiot because you're like, I'm not sure. So I always make sure and intently listen to what he's saying. And he's talking about tracking a bear and finding the water table and the food supply and all this. And I'm like, did anybody tell you, like, don't do this? You know
what
I mean?
That's the thing. Like, now, you clear this up for me, because I was thinking, one, when he was telling the story, and I thought I heard him say something, I was like, one, I get it. You want to track it with, like, your coach or whatever. But the other point where I thought was stupid, because didn't he say that he was with his kid and his wife at the time?
I think that – I don't know that they were out on the trail with them, but they were definitely –
or just at some point –
at the camp.
At the camp at
and
some point.
And I think
point,
they saw
him
at the camp. Okay. And then at that point, Tony's like, okay, you know what? I'm going to go out there and I'm going to find this bear.
As badass as you are, like, do not ever fucking try to,
don't take your kid. Yeah,
take your kid and your wife and then just track a bear, unless that's what your job is.
You ever seen how quick those things move in the wild? Oh, my God.
And even if you try to climb a tree to get away, bro, they climb the tree way better than you're going to climb the fucking tree. So it's very, very scary.
But
I heard that, and I'm glad you cleared that up, because I was like, dude, as much as you want to be a badass, I was like,
don't put your kid out there in front of
a
bear.
Nah.
You know how much he loves his kid. There's no way. But so he mentioned that, and I was like, well, didn't somebody tell you not to? And he's like, nah. He's like, you know, we're going to do this. And I'm like, well, did you at least go with a weapon? And immediately he just pulls out a knife. I guess it was probably in his pants or in his
back pocket or something.
And he pulls out the blade and he throws it on the table and he's like, blades and shades, baby.
Blades
I'm like,
shades.
Come on.
Yeah, I think in Nevada, I think it's a 2-inch blade. So maybe here it's probably the same. A lot of places, like, a 2-inch blade is fine. You can have a 2-inch blade, like, in your pocket knife or whatever. It's not considered like a concealed weapon or whatever.
No.
Yeah, because a lot of the other blades, I mean, you can have another blade longer, but you just can't, like, concealed. Like, I see if it's, like, a fixed blade, like a longer fixed blade, you might have it, like, on your side, but it has to be present. Like, you can't conceal that sort of shit, because that's, like, literally, like, a dangerous weapon. 2-inch knife, while it
can. So when I think of, like, an old country boy walking around with a big knife stuck on it, like, that's
if you're working, like, say if you're cowboy or country boy, like, you're working in, or say if you're fishing or whatever, there's various needs that you can have that sort of thing. But in your day-to-day,
like, stab a man.
But I'll tell you, as a person that quite often does carry and do, like, a concealed carry, a lot of times there were days.
You're like the Frank Mir of the MMA media.
No, he's hardcore. He's super hardcore. But there are often days when I didn't carry, when I was like, well, I don't feel like carrying my actual firearm, but I'd bring, like, a knife or whatever. Because, you know, and everybody always laughs. I'm like, well, what for? I'm like, bro, I'd rather have something in my pocket should something pop off than to have nothing but my fucking wallet where I'm going to try to hand over or whatever. Because at some point, even in something like that, and they're like, well, give them your wallet. What if they want more than that? What if they want your life? What are you going to do? You just give them your life without a fight? No, I'm going to fucking fight. I'm going to stab your eyeball out or something.
Wow.
Or I'm going to stab you in your nuts. I'm taking one of your nuts with me. But whatever.
You got me, but you're going to remember me the rest of your life.
You're always going to pee funny.
Sorry,
but I didn't mind it. But no, I'm glad you cleared up about the bear thing. But yeah, so Tony's fucking nuts, man. He goes tracks bears with fucking just pocket knives. But I love it. I love that he was breaking out this map. And I mean, like, if you're living in the woods, like, nature's beautiful. It's an amazing thing. I mean, like, and if you're smart enough and you look around, bears will hear you coming or smell you much closer than you're ever going to see them. So more than likely, the bear, if there was something around there, would have took off if you wanted to, or could have been at far enough distance and allowed yourself to see. So hopefully he was able to see something and do whatever. But yeah, bears are very, very I ever tell you a story when I was younger. I was up in Wisconsin. I was, like, probably, I don't know, 20 years old or something, maybe younger than that. I was taking mushrooms, and I was, like, shooting. We're at my grandfather's farm, and I was out just taking photos or whatever. And I was looking down along, like, on this stretch of where, like, some of the cornfields or whatever, and I saw this little baby bear. I was like, oh, my God, it's a baby bear. And I remember taking pictures, and I was trying to sort of do this arc around and take pictures. And it kind of stands up, and it looks at me, and then it runs into the cornfield. And at the time, I initially thought, well, fuck, I want to get one more shot. And I started running after it. And it wasn't until I got into started walking the cornfield where, like, common sense kicked in. Was like, where baby bear is,
mama bear is. Yeah.
So I stopped myself and I ran back, and I remember telling them, I was like, I saw a baby bear. And they were, did you see the mama? I was like, luckily, no, I did not. But I was totally tripping my balls.
I saw a baby bear and I ran into the cornfield to go chase
it.
And I was like, don't let this bear throw a lazy leg kick at me, bro, because I will flatten this bear out right in the middle of this cornfield.
So
wow, dude, we came awfully close to never having this podcast.
I hopefully a little guardian angel took care of me of that. And they're like, sir, son, come back. Follow the twinkling sounds over here. Follow my voice. Don't go in the fork.
Oh, man. Card kicks off with Michael Chiesa versus Kevin Holland. Kevin Holland was in great spirits. Yeah. Michael Chiesa was in phenomenal spirits, talking about how excited he is to be back.
Everybody was really in good spirits today. I'm telling you, man, I think the whole media day today. I can't remember anybody that was like pulling the whole, like, I'm just here so I don't get fined thing. Everybody seemed into it.
This was one of the more fun media days that I remember, like, I walking agree. Out and just feeling like it was a positive attitude and enjoyed it.
I just remember Derek Lewis now, because I feel like we've been in this corner of this. We're recording in this lobby, and there was, like, no airflow. I feel like I'm kind of like, I don't know, what's the word, just, like, sort of sweatyish, a little, like, just dank or whatever. Derek Lewis, it was the very last fighter. Do you remember what he said when he came in the room? He's like, man, kind of smells like bunch of fighters in here, or like,
oh, y'all, like y'all been working hard,
like y'all been working out or something.
That's funny.
I was like, do we stink or something?
That's funny. All right. I'll just, you know what? I don't want to skip through Michael Chiesa and Kevin Holland. I don't want to skip through Gabriel Bonfim and Trevin Giles. I don't even skip through Marcus Rogério de Lima.
But
I want to. Wow.
I'm just kidding.
I'm going to tell him you said that.
I keep.
Peza would knock you out. All right.
No, I gave him no respect.
I did want to ask you about Derek Lewis. So, Derek, I have unfortunately had to miss several of his last media days just through scheduling conflicts, and I've been bummed because it's been Derek Lewis fights. And I love Derek Lewis, of course, and I always like talking to him because he's fun, he makes it entertaining, and I've had to miss those. So today, man, he's on a stretch right now, and it's not a good stretch, right? And I knew that, like, knowing Derek enough, like, he already – it's not that he hates doing media, but he doesn't love it.
He likes to deflect questions.
He likes to deflect questions. It's very, you know what, very maybe in a much different way, but maybe very like Roy Nelson-esque, where it's like, you know what I mean? Like
a slightly different
approach, tone, but like
yes.
I'm not actually answering your question. Yep. I'm just making jokes or whatever.
And he's always been that way. I think when we first saw him at like when the media days, he was like, you know, talking about cocaine or drugs or something or whatever.
Oh, that was the one in Louisiana, in New Orleans somewhere. Where he was like I've been using that TRT or whatever. I mean, just – here's the thing about Derek that I think is wild too, is that, like, and he said it today to a degree, that, you know, he knew that we were going to say, like, I honestly believe,
like, I know what you're going to ask me.
And he was spot on, but I honestly believe Derek Lewis thinks people don't like him. And who doesn't like Derek Lewis? Find me a person that doesn't like Derek Lewis. There's not one. I think he honestly feels like, I kind of think he doesn't like talking to us because I think he thinks people just literally don't like him.
Well, and I think – but it also could be that a matter of he just read what some of the pundits out there maybe said. I mean, like, I guarantee when he was thinking, like, what people are going to ask, he was half expecting, okay, he's coming here on 3-fight loss. Who's going to ask the question, okay, are you fighting for your job?
Right.
Are you having extra pressure on your shoulder because you have a 3? Do you think that you're going to be done with this? And I'm sure he's hearing that, and I'm sure – some pundit wrote about it, and he's just assuming everybody's already turned their back on him and already writing him off, so he's just assuming it. So I think that's why his initial approach, he was just like, I'm just going to get some of these answers right off the bat, you know. And I thought it was good because a lot of times I can't remember the last time he's ever did that, if he's ever did that at all. Well, just pointedly sort of said, like, I know what's going on, blah, 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 blah.
It's so funny because, like, I definitely anticipated that happening today. So, like, if you ever notice, like, my interviews, like, a lot of them – you know, and some people, why are you asking a softball question? Why are you asking? But I always like to ask something to, like, especially if I think somebody's going to be a little bit tense.
Yeah.
Let me get something that's going to put them in ease. Let me get some. Hey, we're all buddies in here. We can talk. You can open up in here. Like, don't worry. You don't have to be on the defensive. And I did think it was funny. It made me kind of happy because I was like, hey, man, you know, I opened up. You didn't see it. But I was like, man, a lot of rumors, Derek, of Ronda Rousey returning. Yeah. How excited are you? And me, and it was so funny. Like, he tried to stop himself from smiling, and then he just kind of cracked up. He's like, man, I was ready to come in here and light you guys up. He's like, that made me laugh. He's like, that's pretty good. So,
I mean, as much as I think a lot of people, you know, they're always like, oh, well, I could do it. These reporters ask stupid questions. They do whatever. I mean, and we said this before time and time again. It's a dance. You know, there's two dance partners, you know, the interviewer and the interviewee. You know, you could either immediately go forward and possibly step on their toes trying to get your part of the dance out there, or do you take a step back and let them kind of take the first forward?
Right.
But at some point, you have to give your arms out. You put your arms out. You give them a little something to grab onto, and then you start the dance together. So when you put that softball out there, that's – I'm extending my arms out, and I'm going to let you reach out to them. Once we make that connection – then we start the dance, you know, and then it gets forward. So I think anybody, you know, and that's just repetition. If anybody wants to start to get into the field and wants to start doing better interviews, and they don't understand why we ask at times some questions. People are like, oh, why'd you say this to
Dana?
That
may seem stupid.
Why did you
do
this?
Seem,
whatever. Yep. There's a reason for that, you know, and that's the kind of thing that just it gets honed from experience over and over and over. If you start a conversation asking for the hardest, quickest question that you think, like, oh, this is ultimately my story, and then if you shut them down and you get nothing else and you don't even get the answer that you want, then what do you got?
That's right.
You got absolutely nothing. But if you start into it,
Derek Lewis, three losses in a row, you know, right off the bat, what are you going to get?
Yeah. Then he's just going to clam up, you know, and you might get some else, or you're going to get that attitude. And then his answers are going to get shorter and shorter. Then you never see the smile. You never get his personality. You never get any of that shit out of there. So, I mean, it is what it is. I think for people that don't understand and they think, like, oh, well, you're not asking the hard question. You're not just, why? What is all this filler? And it's like, there's a reason for it, you know, and
up.
I guarantee you either have never done that, or you've done a handful of shit.
Yeah, it's not to make a joke, to make you the center of attention or whatever.
Right.
It's just like, man,
it's
let's kind of let's lighten it up
a
little
tactic,
bit. Let's
man.
Have some fun. And I thought it worked good. So all right, so let me ask you. So even as then we go from that to immediately he goes, I know the questions you're gonna ask. Yes, I think I still have it. Yes, you know what I mean. He went through all the stuff that you're right. All those things that you laid out that people would have laid. He went right into it. And then he starts talking about this health thing and about, passing out before his last weigh-in.
That's the first we heard that.
Okay, so this is what I want to ask you, because I'll be honest with you. Even at first, because with Derek.
They could have got the fight
his
called.
Sarcasm. Oh, yeah. Like, but Derek's sarcasm is so, like, on point and good that sometimes, like, but I didn't feel he was being sarcastic, and I thought it would be incredibly disrespectful to not take it seriously.
Yeah.
So we kept kind of going down that line of questioning. You've been in a lot of these fights that I've missed of Derek's, and, you know, without peeling back the curtain too much, I mean, you're basically part of Team Black Beast, right? I mean, you're basically, like, an honorary member of the team or whatever.
I mean,
but
when they think of, like, their fellow black brothers, I mean, like, I'm right there.
Well, I'm
no.
just saying. You
no,
guys,
like,
yeah.
we're very, very close. I'm very, very close with that team.
You are close to the team. As he was laying all that out, like you said, it's the first time we've heard it. It sound earnest to me, man. Did it all sound straight up? And yes, that's what he's battled with. But yes, he's addressed it. And I mean,
I was glad. I think that I was happy that he even admitted that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But it definitely offered up more questions. I think some people, you know, part of my, you know, I immediately started thinking in my head. Where I was like, well, if that happened while he's at the venue, the fight could have ended. So I'm wondering if it happened at the hotel.
I thought about that
too. We've seen where
if doctors see you pass out, like, you're
done. It's
done.
The fight's done. So that's why I was like, maybe it
doesn't even matter the reason. Doesn't even matter
why. Because we've seen recently, who was it that had, like, panic attacks? We just saw it happen multiple times. Josh? Was it? Fuck. Well, recently, the name will come back to us, but had, like, a panic attack that happened before the fight, and then they end up calling the fight, you know, like. That's what it started for a second to me. I was like,
Tom Breeze had that issue
a
couple times.
He's not the one I was thinking about.
No, there was another one. Oh, heavyweight, Josh Sherman.
Sherman, but it was Sherman one time. It was an opponent at one time. But same difference.
Same difference.
But I feel like it made me think, like, okay, was it, if he's passing out, it can't be just a weight thing. I mean, like, if it.
Oh, Chase Sherman, I should say, not Josh Sherman. Chase Sherman. Sorry about that.
No, I said Josh because I was thinking the opponent that. Other guy was a Josh guy. But yes, I mean, there's definitely issues. And if he really wanted to, that's almost something you want to, like, pull one of the coaches or get to him aside, not in a giant room where you have time to actually talk about it. You know, like, there's a time and place for some stuff. Like, yes, we could have dived in more, but if he could have shut down or whatever. But me being a person, like, I actually like Derek. I care for his team. I care for how he does. That'd be kind of information. But, like, hey, when you have the time to double back, like, hey, can we talk a little bit more? What was going on when you said that you passed out? You know, was it sickness? Was it this and that? Was it nerves? Was it anxiety? You know, if it was, like, the sort of thing of, like, a panic attack starting to sort of offset where your mind was just racing your body and then your body shut down. But all in all, I mean, if it was the kind of thing that if it did affect your performance, that's the kind of stuff that you need to address and make sure that shit's good. And if he's saying that he's 100% good and that he feels good, I mean, I believe him. I mean, like, if you're coming in on three fight loss like he is, the pressure is so immense. Do not half-ass this one, because this is it, dog.
This is it.
I mean, I'd like to think that he's got enough love and adoration from the fans and from the brass at UFC that he can warrant another one, But it needs a good performance. He has to have a good performance.
Has to be good,
he needs to go out there and be a
slobber. That's the problem. Is it hasn't just been losses. It's been like, what was that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You're scratching your head. And that's the kind of thing. I mean, like, and Dana said it before. Like, if a fighter seems like they're on their way down, they cut them while they're still marketable and somebody else wants to pick them up,
right.
You know, possibly. If they're still worth out of it and there's still value, they're like, okay, we'll keep them around or do whatever. Maybe we'll re-sign them or something. But, yeah, I mean, like, as much as he wants to say it or not, like, his job's on the line on this one, and he needs to be 100% or at least to have whatever. But, I mean, if it is a panic thing, if it is a stress thing, that could still pop its head up. I mean, we still got, you know, we still got 2 days.
Yep.
You know,
so he said, by the way, he said, to close everything out, he said, at weigh-ins, I will have a six-pack.
Yeah.
And you got the joke out that was in my head as well.
He didn't. I don't think he heard it.
He didn't hear you. And I started to chirp it up louder because I thought it was funny. He said, at weigh-ins, I will have a six-pack. And what did you say?
What brand?
And I thought that was funny. But he didn't hear it, so he didn't address it. But
Oscar made a good – like when I went outside to try to find a space to work out, and we brought up the six-pack. He said, do you think he's going to paint – on his chest, like paint.
Well, that's what I was gonna ask you, because he actually asked me that. He's like, "What do you think he means?" I was like, "I think he'll paint this." Like,
yeah,
because we've seen guys do that before. Or do you think he'll actually have a? Or is that? I mean,
but he
with
said
Derek, there's
the
always
thing when
a
he
joke.
Said about the octagon.
He said he'll have it at the fight, and he said if I don't have it, he can bring it
in the bucket.
If I don't, he's gonna have a six pack in the prime bucket.
Yeah, I mean, why wouldn't
that be awesome?
Or just have somebody bring it.
Actually, has a six pack of beers
or something, or somebody has it at the venue or something.
All right, so I'm interested in that because with Derek, there's always a little bit of a joke. So.
I think just the only thing is like the painting on six pack's been done before.
It has been done before.
You know, like maybe there's something new. I mean, maybe you know something, but it'd be cool if it was with beer or whatever.
Something to monitor because he said we can talk trash about him if he doesn't have it. So, all right, well, listen. I mean, I could keep talking about MMA all night. I keep talking about this card all night, but the free happy hour has ended.
Yeah.
And so that means.
I got some more edits.
It's time to relocate, is what it means.
Yeah.
I don't have no more edits to do.
I got one more edit.
I just think it's time to relocate, is all I'm saying. I'm just saying the free beers are gone, so now it's time to go find some beers that we can pay for. Hopefully not of the 3.2 variety.
We did some work.
I'm sure there were some people that were incredibly annoyed by us.
Yes. I thought we were borderline going to get cut off. If there were more people here, I think they probably would have been like, guys,
you got to stop.
Literally. I mean, there's 1, 2, 3, 4,
but luckily,
five, six.
Cold Coffee, if you've never seen Cold Coffee operate in public, like, Cold Coffee's a good wingman if you don't want to talk to anybody because he will handle all that for you. Like, I'm not the big, like, jump in the Uber and have a conversation because normally I'm like catching up on email.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Cold Coffee's just like, how you doing, buddy? You good?
Is that how he sounds?
Yeah, well, maybe not. That's probably a little extensive. But he's
I take my Stetson hat off first. I brush off the dirt off my boots.
Step on over the saddle, and I was like, "Yeah, boy." But like today, like the bartender shows up, and he's like the front desk guy, and you're like, "Well, he said he's gonna cook for us as well." And I mean, you've had like a whole conversation.
He brought it up when he checked, because when he checked in, he's like, "Hey, there's a thing here, you know." And he's like, "It's gonna have free beer. There's some food, because I'm the one making it." And I was like, "Oh, well, that's awesome." And then I saw him, and then
what you got on the menu, buddy?
I was surprised it was a soup thing, but the soup was good. Broccoli cheddar?
Broccoli cheddar.
Dude, that was bomb.
It was really solid. Not as good as the price on the beers.
Yes, that was good.
Happy hour's over. That means
we made him have to go in the back. He had to go in the back and refill like almost immediately.
He's like, are you really going to make me go restock the free beer?
I'm like, if I could pay $3.50 to take money out to tip you, come on.
I'm telling you what, if we didn't have to do this podcast, it had gone a lot faster too.
That's for damn sure. Yeah. Well, with the seamless thing, you guys don't realize because this is edited so seamlessly. We did stop to go get some more beers halfway through it.
Editing tricks, bro. I'm talking about.
In between all the music, interludes, and all the other shit.
We
just
steamed it together. We used a couple transitions to mask the moment that we got.
I paid extra to have the transitions that you don't hear or see, you know? It's like riding in a luxury car. You don't hear the shit on the outside.
So ridiculous. All right, listen. Appreciate everybody for listening to us. If you could take a minute to rate us or review us wherever you listen, that always helps out. Leave us some 5 stars if you can. If you got some feedback, we'd love to hear that. Hopefully it's positive.
If you got some extra money
and you just want to throw it to some guys, like, those dudes make me laugh every week. Let me just throw in patreon.com/the
MMA Roadshow.
We gotta
get a cast together for this the Jack Crack video.
Jack
crack. It's Jack and Coker. What are you talking Jack about? Jack and Coker. Wonder Man.
Yeah, we got
to make that happen. Budget. We cannot make that happen.
It's happening. It's happening. Oh, boy. Yeah, we got a budget to put together.
Should so I you sing it in that country twang that you have, that you think I have?
Well, partner. Are you
Wonder Boy?
Man, nobody should ever give us free beer again. Yeah, all right, Patreon.com/SimonRoadShow. If you can support us over there, we appreciate that. But more than anything, we'll just say thanks for listening.